the American Baptist Association. We have with us as a commencement speaker tonight a man who is truly, in every sense of the word, one of our founding fathers. He was and is, I think, the only man still alive who was in the organization of the American Baptist Association when it was formed from the old General Association back in 1925. He participated in that actively and has been active in the American Baptist Association ever since. And when I think of him, I think about a verse of Scripture from which we have preached many times that admonishes us to remove not the ancient landmarks which our forefathers have set. And I think it's a rare privilege for us to have the opportunity of having one of those forefathers with us on this occasion. I say that because I know that back in 1934, he was the man who had a vision of what could be done when a local New Testament church took over the job of educating our preachers. And from his vision, the Missionary Baptist Seminary in Little Rock, Arkansas, started. He was one of the three founding fathers of that school. When he got the idea, he presented it to Dr. Benyon Logard, to Dr. J. Lewis Guthrie, both of whom have gone on to be with the Lord. And those three men together started the Missionary Baptist Seminary in Little Rock, Arkansas. And from that seminary, Travis Hubbard graduated, I.K. Cross graduated, Hoyt Chastain graduated, Carl Farrer graduated, L.E. McAllister graduated, Roy M. Reed graduated, K.G. McKellop, who was pastor of this church when CMBI began, was a graduate of the Missionary Baptist Seminary in Little Rock. And so by that chain of Baptist perpetuity, we have California Missionary Baptist Institute and Seminary today. And what we are witnessing before our very eyes are a part of the fruits of this man's singular vision so many, many years ago. He has had so many honors that I do not have the time to tell you about all of them. He has occupied the president's position in the American Baptist Association longer than any other man. No other person has served as many years in the moderator's chair as he has. He's been the moderator of the Arkansas State Association many times, and of the Pine Bluff Association, the largest local association among missionary Baptists with more churches than most of our state associations have. He's a man who is young in spirit, and who, even after these 80-some-odd years and more than 50 years in the ministry, still has vision, still has a love for progress. And I dare say that we have never had in the past, nor will we ever have in the future, a man who has a dearer and deeper love for young preachers, for the cause of Christian education in general, as our speaker tonight. And it's a great honor for me, on behalf of this church and this school, to welcome to our commencement sermon, Dr. Conrad Nathan Burke.
Brother President, faculty, trustees, students, supporters, this grad school. I appreciate most fully the many things that Brother Reed had to say concerning me. I can join the Apostle Paul and say, it is by the grace of God that I am what I am. I never have thought much myself. I have thought much of the Lord, His work, His people, and I have always loved people. No one could understand my deep interest in Christian education unless you knew something of my own experience and background. When I was called to preach the gospel, we had no school. I knew the problem of a man who was ignorant, had a great task assigned to him, conscious of his inability and incapability to enter into. So, in that field, in my heart, I resolved that what I could do to relieve others of that necessity, I would do. Whatever I may have contributed, it has been not I that did it. I think the glory belongs to the God who made some things plain to me as a result of prayer. I do not believe any man could covet a greater honor than to be invited to such an occasion as we have here this evening. And it is not the first time that I have been so honored by this school. I'll not take a lot of time except say thank you. It's been very pleasant. My privilege to work on the building committee of the American Baptist Association with your president and your dean for a number of years, and when I visit our building in Texarkana, can park and go in, I say, thank the Lord that we have this commodious building. What he said about 80-odd years, I want to correct that, Brother Reed. It is not 80-odd. It won't be past 80 until October. I was born on October the 27th in 1895. I was born again on September the 23rd, 1909. I was baptized on July the 6th, 1913. I entered the gospel ministry on March the 16th, 1922. So I have been blessed, long life, I'd say opportunity, and openings of doors of service. I'm thankful. My message tonight is not what I'd call a lecture to the faculty and administrative force and the students. It's more or less an effort on my part to make a contribution, if it can, to inspire you to higher thoughts, nobler deeds, and greater achievements in the service of our Lord. My text and subject is in the book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and verse 13. In this we have, I think, a very interesting chapter, text, and in, I'll find it in a minute, Proverbs 3:13. Here's what we have. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. We have about four things with which to deal in life. God, creation, man, and the Bible. If we can know God, know His work in creation, know man, and know the Bible, we'll be wise. And this is the field of my thoughts, and I'm a talker and not a writer nor much of a reader, but I know time is precious. And in order to keep from ad-libbing, taking time, I'm going to refer more to my notes than's common for me. I'm ordinarily an extemporaneous speaker. First, I want to define the terms of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the quality of being wise. It is a faculty of making the best use of knowledge. It is a combination of discernment, judgment, sagacity, and so on. Dexterity in execution, as the wisdom of two men upon whom Moses depended, Bezalel and Aholab. They knew many things, and Moses used them, and they were called wise men. In the Scriptures, wisdom might be said to be right judgment concerning religious and moral truth. Right judgment in concerning religion and moral truth. We read in Proverbs 9:10-11, in Job 28:28, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I want to read these two verses. Job 9:10-11, they're very clear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Job 28, and verse 28, we have somewhat a similar statement, but the verbiage is a little different, and I'll read Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Beloved, no man, no woman can be wise who hovers evil in his heart, or harbors evil in his heart. If we would be wise, we must know God. Then the next thing, wisdom has been said to be the use of the best means for the purpose of attaining the best end. You want to be the best preacher. Find the best means to accomplish or to attain to that and follow it. It is also, wisdom is the union of high mental and moral excellence. Wisdom is useless unless it is practiced in our behavior. There are two kinds of wisdom. The wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. With these I shall deal later. A definition of understanding. The act of a mind which understands. The faculty of comprehension. The ability to obtain correct information. It is the ability to perceive the visible or probable agreement or disagreement of ideas. Being able to discern between ideas and to separate the good from the bad, the true from the false. The wisdom of this world is what man is able to acquire apart from God Himself. I believe the brother wrote out this morning what we could do, many things, as though there were no God. And the wisdom of this world is what man can acquire in the way of knowledge, separate and apart from God. True wisdom is of God. And without Him, there is no true wisdom. God alone is the source of true wisdom and true understanding. A primary difference between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God is, man can acquire worldly wisdom, but true wisdom comes as a result of God's communication to man. So, if we would be wise, we must leave the things of this mundane sphere and look to its Creator and to its maintainer. Man in his natural state cannot acquire the wisdom of God. That comes as a result of God's revelation. Those things which are spiritually revealed, and as such can only be spiritually discerned. And the unregenerate does not have that leadership and assistance of the Spirit of God in acquiring this wisdom. Things of God are spiritually discerned. I want to turn to the book of James, first chapter. And in this book read about two or three verses. James chapter 1, I begin to read at verse 5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, and driven with the wind and tossed. For let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In James, the third chapter, verses 13 to 17, I'll read these two verses. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, that is worldly wisdom, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. If you correct a man who is unwise, nine chances of one, you'll make him mad. If you correct a man of wisdom who errs, he'll thank you and love you. There's that difference between the two. I read to you that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of God is not in the hearts of the unsaved. I think that fear comes only to those who have repented toward God of their sins, believed in His Son, and have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, spending a little time on the wisdom of the world. God's attitude toward the wisdom of the world is found in the following, and I read. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There's not anything in the wisdom of the world that'll lead men, I believe, to find God. And I refer to the following. The Greek philosophers which attained to the highest degree of worldly wisdom tried by means of that wisdom to find God, but they failed. Paul preached to them the unknown God. They didn't know the God of creation. The preaching of Christ was foolishness unto them. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. 1 Corinthians 1:23 to 25. The wisdom of this world will perish with it. But the wisdom of God is as eternal as God is, for wisdom is of God. Understanding. The mind of man is a marvelous thing. Who can know it? By worldly wisdom, men have comprehended many, many great things in the creation. They have attained to a high degree of worldly wisdom. But this wisdom carries them not beyond the creation. By worldly wisdom and understanding, man has been able to invent many things, to survey the earth, explore the depths of the sea, explore space, even to put men on the moon, see billions of stars and measure the speed of light, and then wonder how it all happened. Worldly wisdom doesn't carry beyond that. But Solomon, the wise man, who, after considering the incapability of man to comprehend the great mysteries of God and of nature without revelation, Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I said I wasn't going to lecture, but I'm going to say this. Young men, stay with God. Stay with his revelation. Stay with his leadership. Get wisdom. There is a vast difference between reason and revelation. The children of the world live by reason. The children of God live by revelation. And there is a very vast difference. The solution to all of man's problems and the answer to all of man's unanswered questions are found in one verse of Scripture. I quote it. "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. He carried, know that he carried for you. I tell this, in a funeral of a mother who left four little boys, one in the arms of its daddy. Choir in the church sung, "Does Jesus care?" When they had finished, that man sitting in this position to me spoke out aloud and said, "Oh yes, I know he cares." One of those boys is man number three in one of the biggest oil companies of the world. Another one of those boys has been city manager of some of the great cities of this city. Another one of those boys is a banker. And the youngest one is a highly educated man and is a teacher. I know all of them. Jesus cares. He'll solve our problems. Bear our burdens, light the path of our trials. Paul understood the difference between the enticing words of man's wisdom
oration and not a sermon. There is a vast difference between intellectual preaching and Bible preaching. Intellectual preaching may show the eloquence of a man that will do little to advertise Jesus Christ. The right kind of preaching was that done by the apostles when they said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ." Unless we put Christ out in front of us and walk behind Him, He said, He didn't say, "Lead me." He said, "Follow me." And to follow, you've got to be behind. He'll lead us in the paths of wisdom and understanding and truth. Paul said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass and as a tinkling cymbal." Solomon said, "When I applied mine heart to know wisdom, see the business that is done upon the earth, then I beheld all of the words of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Cause though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man seek to know it, he shall not be able to find it." These things begin with God and not with man. And if we are ever possessed of wisdom, it will not go from us to God. It will come from God to us. The importance of the thing is, we'll do the work that God would have us do. We must cooperate with God. One of the great texts of the Bible is in the 3rd chapter, 1 Corinthians. "For we are laborers together with God." And remember, He's the Lord, and we're the servant. We got to work according to His plan. He's not going to work according to ours. And we'll be wise to find that out early in our lives. I'm hurrying now to get through as soon as I can, Brother President. The substance of what I have said is summed up in a few words. True wisdom and understanding cannot be found in this world. God alone is the source of true wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 9, verse 10. "As laborers in the vineyard of the Lord, as witnesses of Christ, as proclaimers of His word, we must have wisdom and understanding, or our labors will be fruitless and in vain." I'm dealing with an inexhaustible subject. Time will not permit me to go into a lot of a detail in it. There are a few other things I want to say. With reference to the wisdom that is hidden in God, and man's understanding of His great mysteries, man has no more than dipped spoonfuls from the oceans of God's wisdom and truth. We've got but little of it. When we consider all there is to know, and to be honest, and admit how little we know, then God will be exalted and we'll be humbled. The more we learn about God, the less we esteem ourselves. By this, we can understand what John the Baptist meant when he said concerning Christ, He must increase, but I must decrease. Can you see your disciples follow another without jealousy? John could. So there is in every page of God's holy book something for us to learn that'll make us wiser. Paul's preaching was for the purpose of revealing to men the mystery of God and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What does manifold mean? It means diversity or a variety of ways. Paul taught the Ephesians what he knew. Preachers will never be able to teach their congregations any more than they know. Solomon expressed the importance of wisdom far better than I am able to do. And I'm going to let him express it as I read a few verses from the 4th chapter of Proverbs, beginning at verse 1. From whence... Oh, that's the wrong book. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. The importance of wisdom cannot be overly expressed nor sanctified. I say it's as important as anything that can come to a man in the world. Now the following. We're in the business of soul winning, presumably. And we cannot win souls unless we know man in his relationship to God, both as a sinner and as a saint. To know man, we must master the sciences of biology, the science of life, pneumatology, the science of the spirit, psychology, the science of the mind, and physiology, the science of our bodies. God has said that man is fearfully and wonderfully made. How much do you know about yourself? Not much. We get a pain, we don't know what it is, where it is, or what caused it. We've got to find somebody to study it. How much do we know about God? I read not long ago why our scientists have discovered a new galaxy so far out in space that I couldn't believe what I read and went back and read it. that light traveling 186,000 miles each second, that it would take 90 million years for the light to reach the earth from that galaxy. Now, folks, use an Arkansas expression, that's a fur piece. The more we learn about God and His works, the bigger He gets. And the smaller we get. And it's wisdom to know God in His creation. He's revealed Himself in His works and in His work. Now, just a minute more. So the pastor, one of my minutes, and I'll be the manifold wisdom of God is the storehouse of our supply. Our understanding is our ability to draw from it. There is an inexhaustible supply of wisdom. Solomon says, get wisdom, and James tells us how to get it. Ask God. And when we ask God, God gives us a formula to follow. And here it is. Steady, show thyself approved unto God a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I conclude my message with the following. The more we are able to learn of God in His person, His words and His works, the wiser we will become, and the wiser we are, the more able we will be to serve God and help humanity. Therefore, let us get wisdom and forget it not. The result will be, according to my text, happy is that man, or is the man that findeth wisdom, and that man that getteth understanding. God grant that His called servants may get wisdom and understanding and forget it not.
One of the members of our CMBI